Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I am your father. You are a good boy who loves soccer and school. Your mother loves you so much. And you will come home with me and be my son again.
I'm Jim Burns. If you're a parent, your children view your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness. That principle is at the heart of some of the most powerful teaching on parenting the world has ever heard. But it isn't the result of years of scientific study. It's actually something that Jesus himself taught us. Well, during the next half hour, I want to share with you what I believe is the key to establishing solid and lasting relationships in your life, starting with your children. Stay with me as we talk about the power of being there. That's next on a very special edition of Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. During the next half hour, you're in for a real treat because it's not often that we get a chance to give you the opportunity to sample what Jim sounds like in front of a crowd. I mean, doing what he really loves to do, whether it's thousands of young people or some parents at a parenting seminar or in the pulpit of a worship center. And that's what we get the third option today. Talking about something that's near and dear to Jim's heart, and that's the power of being there. Your very presence in the lives of your kids shows a sign. It's a sign of caring and connectedness. And what you're about to hear, this is part one of Jim presenting a talk on the power of being there. So let's get right to it.
Great to be with you. I actually am coming with some emotion because I have not been here on this campus for a while, and I remember the first time I came, I was actually in a helicopter, believe it or not. We couldn't get through to this campus. It was just a piece of dirt. It was not owned by a church, and we stood around, just a couple of us, and we prayed that God would do a mighty work on this place. And wow, what a great place. And what a great experience. And I think one of the reasons why God has blessed this place so much is because of the incredible impact that you have had with children and youth and young adults. And Kyle and I were talking just a little while ago about the fact that this particular place has launched many, many ministries. And there are other churches and there are other ministries that in many ways has been launched by this place, the organization that I'm a part of, Homeward, one of those. And I think that's one of the reasons why he just continues to bless this place because of what you're doing, making a difference in the lives of people, not just here, but around the world. I live in Dana Point, not too far from here, and I actually walked the harbor today, but I was walking the harbor one time with my wife, Kathy, and my three daughters. Actually, my three daughters were teenagers, so they really didn't want to look like they were with their parents, but they wanted to eat, and we were going to a place to eat, so they were kind of up in front of us. And Kathy kind of leaned over at me. It was one of those things where the sun was setting and the kayak was out there, one person, you know, just kind of this lone, beautiful evening. And she leaned over to me and she said, you know, we live in paradise. And I kind of just nodded. And all of a sudden, I noticed that there was a couple who was walking toward us rapidly who had absolutely no idea that we were there because they were yelling and screaming at each other. I don't think their marriage was going real well. And finally, the guy, you know, cursed, and he threw this coffee cup down, and the coffee actually got on my pants, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, and I said, what happens to me all the time. And and then as we went on, Kathy leaned over to me and said, right below the surface of paradise is a lot of pain. And if we were really honest today, if we think about our own family situation, whether you are a single person, you're thinking about mom and dad, or you're a student thinking about mom and dad, or grandma or grandpa, or your crazy Aunt Mary, you're just hoping you're not the crazy Aunt Mary in your family. If you're thinking about children, grandchildren, the truth is that every one of us have some pain when it comes to family issues. And there would be people in this auditorium right now, if they knew that I'm a person who speaks about family issues or marriage issues or whatnot, might say, well, that really doesn't relate to me. Actually, all of us are related to a family. And Jesus gives us an incredible, not only teaching, but an incredible illustration about how to do relationships right. And it's found in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And then we're going to move over to Mark 9. And in this particular scripture, Jesus is doing something that is major league radical for the time. It doesn't sound that radical right now because we don't really think of Jesus at times being radical. In fact, we see photos of him that make him look sort of wimpy. This is not about Jesus' wimpiness, actually. It's about what his heart and his passion is all about. And frankly, I would imagine it's what your heart and passion is all about, too. Let's read this together. Mark 10, we'll start at verse 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, the disciples didn't rebuke the children. The disciples didn't rebuke Jesus. The disciples rebuked the parents for even allowing children to sort of come to bother Jesus. In that day, the rabbis and the teachers didn't spend a whole lot of time with children. In fact, to be honest, in that day, children and women were not really on the same par, sometimes with even dogs, as some of you might know. And so what happened was Jesus raised the bar in a big way with children, and he raised the bar in a big way with women as well. But we then go on in the scripture to see some tension and some actually anger in the life of Jesus when he says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. In the Greek, that means hacked, angry, frustrated. And he said to his disciples, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So in other words, he didn't say that in a nice voice like I just said it. He probably yelled at his disciples. The parents probably, you know, backed off. Some of the children even, you know, didn't like the look that was on Jesus' face. We've got some drama going on here. Then he goes on to say a major statement. Kenton can do a much better job exegeting this one sometime. It's a phenomenal statement. I'll hardly talk about it. But he went on to say, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And then he did a most phenomenal thing that didn't happen in that day. And he took the little children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. He allowed the little children to come and then he showed affection to them. Amazing. See? Now, that's part of the story, because what was taking place there was that Jesus was hanging around with his disciples and parents were bringing children. And so in some ways, the disciples thought that the parents were bothering Jesus by bringing these children to him. But Jesus had been speaking about children actually before that, because if you look at Mark chapter 9, he was trying to do a teaching with them, but they kept interrupting him, thinking that there was something more important than family, thinking there was more important than parenting, thinking more important there was going on with children. So we look at Mark 9, 36 and 37, and he actually makes one of the most radical statements in the Bible. Again, we have to understand the context to probably get how radical this is, but it says in 36, he took a child, Jesus, and had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not just welcome me, but welcomes the Father, the one who sent me. Now, what's fascinating about that is he just said something radical. Anybody who was a knowledgeable theologian at the time would have said, what is he saying? That when you welcome a child who was not treated very well, when you welcome a child, you're welcoming Jesus, but not just Jesus, but the one who sent him, Adonai, Jehovah, the Holy God? It's pretty radical. Well, if you want to get to know the heart of God, and you want to get to know the heart of Jesus, then you'd have to look at a few verses later in a conversation where they'd been interrupting, but then he kept coming back to the childhood thing. And in verse 42, he said a most fascinating thing. This doesn't make Jesus look wimpy, believe me. And in fact, it almost makes him look a little angry, but you've got to understand his amazing heart. And if anyone causes one of these little ones, he said, verse 42, who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. That's a pretty powerful statement in many ways. Now, what I said before was that this is a teaching of Jesus, but it's also an action step of Jesus. And it begins to help us understand how we do relationships. And again, this is about relationships, but it's also about family. This is natural for many of you who have children or you have grandchildren. It's also natural for those who don't have children because you have parents. My dad is 89. I called him last night after the service here, and I said, how you doing? And we sort of talked for a little bit. And, you know, at 89, and he's kind of fading, there's not a whole lot to say at times. And I probably talked to him for a whole, you know, 3 minutes. And then I hung up, and right before I hung up, Dad said, thank you so much, Jimmy, for calling. It just means so much to me. And I realized that what I'm about to tell you really mattered to him as a son talking to his dad. Now, some of you haven't had the privilege of having a good family history or good family background. Mine's sort of unique, and not unique for you or whatever, but unique for me, because I have great parents. My mom has died. My dad is a great guy, but I wasn't raised in a somewhat functional home. I was raised in a dysfunctional home. My dad is a recovering alcoholic. At age 68, he quit drinking. And so that means my growing up times, I was raised in an alcoholic home. My grandfather died of cirrhosis of the liver on the other side of the family. So mom had a dad and a husband who was an alcoholic. And I've got a couple alcoholics on kind of both sides of the family. And so I came from what you'd call a classic dysfunctional family. Kathy also, my wife, came from somewhat of a classic dysfunctional family. And so you put these two together and, you know, we bump into each other. You know, a sinner marries another sinner, and then you have sinnerlings, and you sort of, you know, bump into each other.
Life is not always pretty, that's for sure. And yet, you might be wondering, well, how do you overcome the sin patterns in your life? I mean, Jim mentioned that he's from a classic dysfunctional family, Jim being Dr. Jim Burns, by the way, if you're just joining us. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're getting a chance to hear Jim at part of his home church, at Mariners Church here in Southern California, giving a talk to the congregation there about the power of being there. And it's a very, very key principle. It's a real central theme for us here at the Ministry of Homeward. You'll learn more about our ministry if you're new to us. Go to homeward.com and browse around a while. Look at the different resources that we make available to you. We've got articles, and tip sheets, and video clips that are available. Dr. Jim Burns, a very prolific author, and you'll find all of Jim's books are available for purchase there. By the way, I should point out that if you purchase any of Jim's books from our Homeward Online Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward. It's a tax-deductible donation to you, that portion is, and we truly appreciate that. For more information, visit us online at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Oh, this crossword is so frustrating.
Need any help?
Yeah, it's one of those multiple answer deals. Oh. First clue is the highest standard, 7 letters.
Seven-letter word for the highest. Mm-hmm. How about quality?
Hey, it fits.
All right.
Okay, second part of the clue, a system of measuring duration, 4 letters.
Measuring duration. Yeah. Hey, wouldn't that be time?
Hey, right.
Okay, so the answer is quality time. What does that mean?
Well, it's what I really need from you, Dad.
Well, at least he got the answers right. We live at a breathless pace at times. Overcommitment and fatigue are two of the greatest distractions from doing our job as parents. Well, your children need time. Your children need attention. Well, here's my advice from experience. Quit working so hard. Save some of your energy for yourself and your family. By the way, Dad, for a free tip sheet called 10 Commandments for the Absent Father Syndrome, go to homeward.com.
At Homeward's Understanding Your Teenager Seminar, you'll get the tools you need to do a better job of navigating the changes every child goes through once he or she enters the teen years. For more information on how you can attend an Understanding Your Teenager Seminar, go to homeward.com. And now let's continue with part two of Dr. Jim Burns' message on the importance for parents of utilizing the power of being there.
I'm going to fast forward it to the time my daughter Christy was 17. Christy actually was one of the first kids dedicated on this campus. But when she was 17, she was a spitfire. Today, she's one of my great heroes and one of Kathy's best friends. But at 17, we were actually wondering if there was any way that Point Loma Nazarene University would let her come a semester early so she could go out of the house and we would give their dorm parents some of the same stuff that we were getting from her. Amazing how, in parenting, she now thinks we're good parents, and at 17, she thought we were the world's worst. And what had happened was Kathy and Christy were in an argument, and that was happening quite a bit, actually. And being the passive-aggressive husband and father I was not in the middle of the kitchen. I was actually in another room listening. And even worse was the fact that Christy's amazingly articulate, and so is Kathy, but Christy was sort of winning the argument at the time. And I know this sounds horrible, but there were times when she would say something to Kathy about Kathy, and I'd kind of go, well, that's actually kind of true, you know? And I'd kind of go, I'm glad Christy said that and not me to my wife. And then finally she escalated, it went over, and I said, you know what, I need to jump in there. I need to be the non-wimp father, and I need to suck it up and get in there. And so I said, Christy, go to your room. She turned on me, and she kind of spit and sputtered at me, and then we have a sign that says, bless this house, over our kitchen door, and she slammed the door, and it went crooked. I think we've left it crooked. She went up to her room, and I sort of followed her up there, and I said, Christy, I want to tell you something. I said, I was listening in on the conversation that you were having with Mom, and frankly, some of the stuff is true. And that kind of caught her attention because she thought I was going to come on her side. But I said, and you had no way should you have talked to your mom like that. I said, however, I want to tell you something about mom and I want to tell you something about dad. I said, you know, your mom started in deficit land because she is what we call the transitional generation. Your mom is the person in my life who has grown the most in her life, in her faith. I've never met anybody, and that's true. I've never met anybody who has grown as much as Kathy. She started in deficit land, and she has moved to an amazing place. Not perfect. Okay. And I said, and Christy, the Bible says that you inherit the sins of a previous generation to the second, third, and even fourth generation. So your mom's kind of, you know, inherited some of these habits and some of these sins and some of these issues, or at least a sin bent. And your mom is working overtime to be the person who can break the chain of dysfunction. Now I've got her attention. I said, Christy, so your mom started here, and she is here so that you can start here and you can move on. Because you see, your mom and your dad were the transitional generation. And we either are going to repeat the sins of the past or we're going to recover from the sins of the past. But I want you to know that the work is on us. There's some work on your part and you still got plenty of work to do, but there's some work that we have to do so that you can be set free from generation to generation. One of the phrases of Homeward, where I work, is that the purpose of Homeward is to mentor parents, parents mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation and then the next generation. Well, that little girl started to cry because she got it. And I would imagine there are some transitional generation people in this room. And it is not easy to do family going up, back, side. Maybe your parents are dead. I spoke at Promise Keepers for years. And what would be fascinating to me was some of the men when I was speaking at Promise Keepers, their fathers were dead, but they still wanted some kind of connection. And so they were still hurting because they had dead fathers and they didn't know what to do with them because they didn't feel connected with them. And so we need to understand that Jesus actually speaks to us in terms of how we do family right in that scripture. And the first scripture is found in verse 14. And the first point is simply, you bless children or children, you would bless your parents. And even if you're old, you're still blessing your parents if they're still around. You bless them with your presence, not gifts, but your presence. In fact, all authorities say that children regard your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness. Now, some of you have, you know, teenagers, and you probably aren't thinking that your teenagers are really wanting to spend some time with you right now, okay? But the truth is that, again, studies show that even in the teenage years and the preteen years, they want your connection. I call this the power of being there. I mean, it's, as Kyle kind of said, it's sort of simple, but it makes a lot of sense. We bless them with our presence. Jesus said, let the little children come. He allowed children to be in his life. He allowed children to interrupt his life. He put his focus on children. We see his character. His character was saying that, you know, if you cause one of these children to sin, then it's better for you to be dead. Basically what he said in verse 42 of Mark 9. My mom, great lady, not a perfect lady, but about 4'11" by 4'11". And, just a wonderful, wonderful person. Became a Christian later in her life. She was dying of lung cancer. She had spent too much time smoking. And she was 74. I'm in her bedroom. She's in hospice care, so she's in a hospital bed. I'm just sitting there. My dad's watching a baseball game. I'm thinking about going, because I was in my office is in San Juan Capistrano. I've been driving to Still Beach where mom and dad lived. And, you know, you have these moments. I don't know if any of you have had this experience with your own parents or with a loved one who's older, but, you know, your emotions are raw. You know, we laughed at stuff that I can't believe how much we laughed when mom was getting ready to die. We cried. I was told stories about our family, like some of the craziness in our family that I had no idea. They'd kept it from the youngest son. And now we're sort of just preparing for mom to die, to be honest. And so I'm sitting there doing my duty, so to speak, because I needed that connection. I needed my presence with my mom, I guess. And all of a sudden, my mom looks up at me. She's on morphine, and she is absolutely clear. And she says, Jimmy, where's your dad? Almost in a panic, so I went to go get dad. He was watching a baseball game. And I said, he's watching a game. Do you need him? And she said, no. You can sit there. I went, oh, okay. Then again, she went out for about 45 seconds, came back and said, Jimmy, where's your dad? I said, well, he's watching a baseball game, Mom. Do you need him? She said, no. Then she made a most amazing statement for our family. She said, you know, Jimmy, I never liked baseball. I went, you never liked baseball? I said, did you ever miss a La Palma Lily game of mine? I lived in Anaheim, and, you know, she went to every game. I said, did you ever miss an American Legion game? No. Pony League game? No. Junior high game? High school game? My brother played for the Chicago White Sox. I said, Mom, remember when Bill was in the minor leagues and you had a shortwave radio and you would stay by it and it was all scratchy, but you just listened for his name? Dad and I would get bored and we'd move on. What do you mean you don't like baseball? You've seen millions of games and that's what Dad does. He just watches baseball. And she looked at me as if, you know, I had no understanding. And she said, well, Jimmy, I didn't go there to watch baseball. I went there to be with you. And all of a sudden, the power of being there made sense to me. And I got in my car and I cried. Grown man crying all the way back to San Juan Capistrano, realizing that the powerful impact of my mom was the power of being there. My friends, you who are the soccer moms and the soccer dads or your grandparents, and you're saying, you know what, I'm not really sure if I'm, you know, making any difference in your kids' lives. Yes, you are. Because it's the power of being there. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. You don't have to have all this stuff down. But I'm telling you one thing. Jesus showed us, let the little children come. We bless children. And we bless each other with our presence. And when we break that, then our families are broken in a big way. We see it in verse 16. Jesus had another incredible encounter. They're all standing there, and he brings a little child in front of him. He's going to teach his disciples something. And basically what he does is he puts his arm on the children, and he took them in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, you know what? That's a pretty neat thing. My friends, Bucky and Annette, at the time when we were, you know, shaking hands, they come over, hadn't seen him. They just got back from Africa. And Annette gave me a hug. She blessed me. You know, Bucky gave me a hug. He blessed me because in many ways, I feel so much a part of this congregation. I've seen so many people, and you know, I'm giving hugs and shaking hands, and it's been wonderful. It's a blessing, see. And the point here in families, in relationships, is that we are to bless children or bless people with affection. You don't hear much about this in church, but we're really called to do appropriate affection, see. In fact, a UCLA study comes out that it says it takes 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day for someone to thrive. And a lot of times we think about, you know, people who are in convalescent hospitals and all that who want that touch. But I got news for you. There are some sexually promiscuous kids running around Newport, Irvine, et cetera, who are sexually promiscuous because they need the affection of a mom and they need the affection of a dad.
Boy, I'll tell you what, the power of being there means that we show up in the lives of our kids. And it's amazing how even just that simple hug, high five, that physical connection that we have, starting from when they're younger and all the way up through middle school and high school years. So very, very important. Dr. Jim Burns giving a talk today to Mariners Church in Southern California, which is why he just made the references to Newport and Irvine. But this can happen in anywhere in the United States right now. And we've reached the midpoint of this talk. On the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we'll conclude hearing Dr. Jim Burns give his message on the power of being there. Jim, I know that one of the ways that kids in an affluent culture can really feel the presence of the love of God through their parents is the fact that we would actually talk to them about something like sex or stewardship, for example. And I know we've got some resources to help take care of the latter anyway.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse or sex and sexuality. Yeah. But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether. Mm. And we sort of just breeze over that. And yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives.
Yeah.
These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
Yep, these are great resources, and we are so grateful to Rod Emery and the staff at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company. They know what it's like to manage money in this market. They understand what it's like to run a real estate investment trust, but they use biblical principles. It's a very, very godly company, and they helped us create these tip sheets that will help you talk to your kids about money using biblical principles. So all you do is go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and you're going to do a search for Steadfast, Steadfast, and you'll find those tip sheets, and you can download them, read them, do whatever you want with them. Have that conversation with your kids, though. Be intentional. We're talking about the power of being there. Oftentimes, as parents, we just think the issue with money is give our kids an allowance and hope that they don't screw up, or encourage them to get a job and hope they don't mess that up. be intentional about having the stewardship talk with your kids, and these resources will help you at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.